The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome to It Came From the Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Hassan Godwin sitting across from me. And you're supposed to say hello, Hassan?
No.
Not this time. Every other time for the past month and a half, you've jumped over what I had to say.
That was my point. You always keep guessing.
Oh, is that the plan?
That was the plan. And it worked, because you're still guessing.
That is true.
Keep guessing. Going. We got more people here.
And the empty chair next to us is for the in a part.
You're gonna pick
unknown.
The empty chair over our guests.
Well,
you're gonna introduce the empty chair first.
Because we didn't. Because this is a regular.
Who's the empty chair is quite regular these days. I agree with you.
Our very own Charlie Saladino is back to Parts Unknown.
Is he ours? If he was ours, he would be here.
No, he's a Parts Unknown. He belongs to the Parts Unknown.
Okay, fair enough.
So he's in so Parts Charlie's, Unknown again. Yeah.
And so unknown, we don't really know where the unknown is.
Well, yeah, because that's why it's unknown.
Well, you, never mind.
And
it was a good joke. You killed it.
And once again, we have special, extra special guests in the studio.
Playing second fiddle to an empty chair.
It's quite the pedestal you put us on, really.
We have Jared and Jordan Burrell. From the Loaded Barrel Studios. Did I get that right?
You did. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
See?
Yeah, I was
see?
Waiting for it to not go that way.
I've been practicing. I was practicing.
It's not like
all
it hasn't not gone that way before.
I have messed up many names. Many
oh,
times.
Yeah.
I even messed up your guys' names the first time you were here.
Yeah. I was waiting for the, and we're here with. And two hand gesture here.
That's what I would have done, to be honest with you.
We're with these guys.
Yeah, we're with these. As you can see, we have guests in the studio.
Don't be shy. State your names.
Name and occupation, please. So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online right now to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on a live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see us on a high-definition web camera right now, waving hi on the site.
Wave.
Yes, but you
it's
actually
radio,
did wave.
Radio, not television.
You actually did wave, but it didn't capture it.
Yes, I waved so fast it didn't catch me.
Yeah, yeah. Remember when we said the web camera was 10 seconds?
Yes,
close? You used to wave in between the 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very
mm-hmm.
nicely done.
Yeah, now everybody remembers
today.
That now. Huh?
You seem just lazy today.
Yeah, I am.
That's saying hi, not waving.
I protest the whole thing. I'm angry.
And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811.
Talk about lazy. That's a lazy phone number.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be good luck.
It's only like four numbers.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be good luck. The Chinese love the eights, and this is a Chinese owned radio station. So that's why.
Is there a Chinese ghost in the bathroom?
I don't think he's Chinese. His name
Charlie
is Charlie.
Charlie right?
His name is Charlie. It's not.
Well, Charlie be. Chan.
Oh, did you go there? Did you really? Okay, let's get away from there. Let's get away from there. Back up. Don't keep going. Let's just keep going.
Are you sure?
Let's do the show. Let's just do the show.
So normally.
Normally.
We would take it away with the news.
Yeah, but you don't seem to have any news.
No, actually, today, this is actually pre-planned out. Today is an extra special day.
Mm-hmm.
Because last week when we had a guest, we ran over with the news, and our guest didn't have time to talk about himself.
Heck with a guest.
But today we are planning to talk about The Dark Knight in the second half of the show. So I figured that our news can be all about our guests and what they've been up to.
Ah. A short show.
We have been up to nothing.
Well, thanks for coming.
Well, we came here and then
we pretty much the highlight of our summer.
There was some traffic.
Yeah, I was prepared with the name and occupation. I didn't get past that.
Trumpshaw/Slasher.
Jared, Jordan, what have you guys been up to since the last time you've been on the show?
Didn't they just tell you? Nothing?
Nothing.
That wasn't. This is the official question.
Oh, okay.
That was the official question.
I'll stop talking.
Well, let's see. Last time we were on the show, we had just We already released Gray?
What, yes,
we,
you had
it.
Yeah, we had it.
You were here a long time ago.
Was it over the summer? Was it,
it was
the
winter.
Fall, right?
It was
winter.
Yeah, it was cold. It was cold outside.
Yeah, so we just,
was it?
It was cold.
Okay, good.
Yep. It was like November.
It was after the New York Comic Con.
Yeah, so I was like.
See, I actually wore jeans today. Yeah, even though it's summertime, because I was like, you know, the last time we were here, I remember being cold. But I could have sworn we were here in August. And now I'm sweating.
It was after the New York Comic Con, so yes.
But anyway, last time we were here, we had just released Gray, which is our big graphic novel that we released in the fall. So we still did that. That wasn't that long ago. since then, we actually we did have a little bit of cool news. We did sign... For a feature film, first feature film, to be co-produced by Loaded Brow Studios.
Wow.
That Jordan and I are writing right now. The film, I guess, right now, I guess you could say tentatively called The Longest Night, in co-production with a small company called Leo Mark out in California. So we're in the writing stage, we're in the development stage, we'll see where it goes.
Is that the one with the 2 years playing brothers fighting across the country? Was that one?
No, did you see that teaser?
No, you told me about it.
Oh, because we saw each other in Philly, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm so left out of all of this news, dude. This is all updates to me.
Oh, really? Are we doing that? What, are we got evicted? When did we get evicted? The cops are after us. For what? Oh, another dead hooker. Darn it.
I've never seen so many dead hookers in my life.
They're easy to come by, man. This is the tri-state area.
So you have a teaser out?
So, yeah. So we put together this teaser. We've been we're in very early stages of development. We had this little idea for a movie that we're calling Rough and Tumble, which would basically be like a documentary, found footage-y. I guess you could call it found footage that we don't die at the end, hopefully.
Oh, you just ruined it for everybody.
Well, no, they don't. They didn't, because if they don't die at the end, that's a different ending.
Easy. We're always rewriting. We're always working on stuff.
But everybody dies at the end of the shaky cam movies.
Well, this is a horror film.
Just about.
A horror film. So, little known fact about the guys from Loaded Barrel Studios. Jordan and I are both black belts in jiu-jitsu. And judo.
That's a fact that I should have known. I'm mouthing off to these guys later.
There you go. You gotta behave. That's why we came on the radio.
I think we came back 6 months later.
They weren't black belts then.
Yeah, we've been training.
They've been training, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. That's awesome. All right. I think you should have definitely been up to more than I have in the last 6 months.
Anyway, though, so the premise of this film would basically be Jordan and I training for a judo tournament across the country. But again, like I said, we're in sort of pretty early stages of the film. But another thing news-wise is sort of, I guess, partially related to it is next week, August 10th through 12th, we're going to be speaking at the New York City International Film Festival, which was really cool. We got invited to speak as panelists on being innovative filmmakers, which is really cool. I don't know who saw what on the innovative filmmakers panel,
but that's what's innovative.
We're being honored for something. We just don't know what it is.
So
you're so innovative.
We don't even know why they love us.
Exactly. So we were thinking, well, how could we be innovative and show? I hope there's somebody there. I hope there's somebody that's like,
nobody.
Jared Burrell, George Burrell. Let's go check out these guys. But what I'm hoping is that there will actually be an audience. And being as I have no idea what to tell this audience, we figured why not?
This is very planned.
Why not?
Very, very planned.
So
first professional panel, you gotta set the stage right and start off awful, and that way every
step to the bar, just lower your expectations.
Yes, we did Spider-Man.
And then when you invite us, you can say, it's not how good it could this be. Worse, and then right? You're like, wow, it puts whole sentences together. These guys aren't bad. I don't understand what the fuss was about.
They actually showed up dressed this time.
Which was Jared? I don't know. The one that was drunk? I can't remember.
He's not drunk this time. That's all he wants. That's all he
I'm
wants.
I'm useless to that.
Exactly.
It's all laugh for me.
So what are you planning?
These guys just told us, I don't know, it was on the air, but they just told us they were up to nothing this entire time. Now, isn't this like the third, like, really, like, Oh Well event that he mentioned
every
just now?
Time.
Yeah,
cause,
okay.
See, because
I've been counting.
Actually, I did my homework this time, and I knew that
like
they had
stuff. Yeah. You knew you I should knew just answer the questions for us. We were like really exhausted, overworked. I was like, he just flew in a couple days ago. He studied for the bar this whole time. Like we're tired. You do the Loaded Battle Studios, and we'll knight you, Sir Mark of Loaded Battle Studios. You can be our ambassador. Just tell the world about whatever we're up to.
Ambassador,
I don't remember anymore. Sir
I mean, Mark. I was trying to be professional. I spent an hour's worth of material on The Dark Knight. And I had no idea I was going to talk about myself or our company.
Why
would you ask me to come on the radio and speak about myself?
Exactly.
I have no
We're
idea.
We're not even wearing Loaded Barrel Studios. For
that's
the
right.
We're
not even. Wow. No,
I'm wearing my Joker hat. From the Dark Knight.
Chill.
We were waiting for like some more free stuff and everything.
No, we get nothing.
Why? See, I didn't make anything new yet.
We were up to nothing.
They're too busy. They're too busy being great, man. They're way too busy being awesome.
True. We basically sit around all day.
Awesome is a full time job.
Hey, you man.
Whose turn is it to pat each other's back today? Yeah. Oh, good job there.
No, I patted you yesterday. Yep. I'm not doing it again today.
On an actual a bit of news, we actually submitted the book for Independent Publishers Award.
Oh, there was that.
Holy crap!
I wanted to make sure we got to that because I knew that was going to get forgotten.
I'm so glad that I don't have to answer this question.
You know,
especially following these guys.
It's funny. Funny how we were just saying, "Don't be the worst guest ever."
We can talk. We just don't remember.
didn't we just?
Which tells you a lot about our social lives.
Didn't we just have this conversation? Okay, if you set the bar low enough, what are you up to? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And then like, every successive answer seems like, wow, these guys are getting better.
That was the studio's attitude about Amazing Spider-Man. It's like we just lowered our expectations, and now we made more than we expected to.
Yeah, that's
what I'm gonna. That's my model for the rest of my life, right now.
Lower your expectations.
I'm lowering my expectations.
That's
when I go to the store.
Spider-Man model, just be do it again.
Yeah. Beyond that, though, okay. Beyond that, do it again, and then be successful. The only way to be successful is just to not expect to be successful at all.
Yeah.
And then any success is a success.
Yeah, that's good because we've been planning on trying to be successful. It's been very disappointing.
You should stop that.
It's why we've been up to nothing. You're trying a different route.
Just you have your goal be loserdom, but continue doing what you're doing right now, and then you'll actually overwhelm yourself eventually.
Yeah,
you'll be astounded.
But that would be so disappointing too, because we set the goal to be loserdom, and then we might actually be cool, and we'll fail at being losers.
And then you just switch it. I have no choice.
Yeah,
I'm awesome now. I don't know how I achieved awesome, but I have to go with it.
And then you start patting each other on the back.
Yeah, be careful with that. Though.
About the award.
Okay, yeah. So this was cool. I forgot this. All this.
You
awesome
forgot how
stuff
cool
happened.
It was.
That's right. We were hanging out here in loserdom. We forgot that we took a vacation from loserdom. I was like, oh my god, there was actually something cool happened. Very cool thing happened. We won the silver medal for best graphic novel, drama or drone, whatever the specific graphic novel,
whatever the category
whatever it
is,
was, from the Independent Publishers Book Awards. So it was cool. There was like a big award ceremony, and thank you very much.
You get like a statue and
no, I got a medal.
You got a medal.
Yeah,
medal.
Like, everybody's watching the Olympics right now, being like, God, I wish I had a medal. Like, well, I have a medal. And it's big and it's heavy.
It's
and
the price
shiny
you pay for being awesome.
Did I even show it to you?
I've never seen
it. Jordan was in California.
I was
didn't
in
even
LA.
Show you the medal.
No,
we got
seen
a medal. There's like a certificate.
Yeah, I'm glad he knows what you've been up to.
Do you get two
Mark,
medals for each
place
of you, or you got to share the medal?
You got to share the medal.
Well, we're not sharing. I'm taking it.
Oh.
I've already engraved it with just my name.
That's what you get.
I know.
That's what you get for trying to be a lawyer, dude.
I know, but one day he's gonna leave the house, and I'm gonna saw it in half and ransack his room, and I'm gonna put the medals on other sides of the world with a little treasure map.
And he's gonna try to sue you, and he's gonna have to hire you, and it's not gonna
exactly
work out. It's conflict of interest.
See,
so
it's possession is 9/10 of the law, right? So you'll be possessing it, so then you'll be yours.
That's not a real law, Mark.
I'm glad you said that, because I was about to be like, yeah,
that's
smart.
Law.
That's some legalese right there, son.
I didn't do any research on legal stuff.
No.
Don't condescend to me.
So, Mark, what else
have we done?
What else
going on? Another great thing
that
we've done.
What else have I done lately?
You guys are gonna be going to the Comic-Con this October?
Yeah, we're already set to to have a much bigger, cooler booth than we did last year.
They're not doing the loser thing very well. They're blowing it.
That's not true. That's not true. Because
you're gonna get one next to the bathroom.
Way more money. We have no idea how we're gonna pay for it.
That's right.
You're gonna be next to the bathroom. That's what you're gonna be, right?
Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah. No, we have one of those like briefcase like table things, and we're just gonna stand by the bathroom and we're gonna try and hock it. There's no toilet paper inside, so.
You give out free paper with every book.
And but I'll be wearing the medal though. I'll be wearing the medal.
Why don't you go into the bathroom and be that guy right there with your book in the bathroom?
Well, look, there's the bar, and then there's where we are. Yeah,
you don't want to be that guy.
No,
That can backfire. That's very trendy and very cute for about 6.5 seconds.
Wait, you don't want to be that guy?
No, you don't want to be that guy.
All right, we have to cancel the urinal. No more LVS urinal cakes.
There's a definite creep factor about that, you know?
So what goes into setting up a booth for you guys? I mean, you've been to different conventions.
George just looked at me because he has no idea.
You know, guy misses one convention. One convention.
Well, we're actually at the New York City International Film Festival and Film Market, whatever it's called. I think it's in the Marriott in Times Square next weekend. We actually have a booth there also. So we will be exhibiting within the film festival, which is kind of cool. It's the most important thing is trying to find someone to run the booth. You know, you saw I got stuck. We saw you in at Wizard World Philly, and it was just two of us there, which is actually kind of nice.
Just two of you in the whole convention? Wow.
Yeah, it was a very poorly attended.
That was
convention.
A bust. That place was a bust.
Nobody wanted to see Thor. Nobody.
There was only two of us running the booth. So we were a little undermanned. So the hardest part is finding someone.
It's radio, Jared. Use your words.
To run the booth. Thank you.
I remember that
I'm
you.
I'm a video guy. I'm a film guy.
I remember that you said you actually had ran out of product. That's but
yeah,
you
we,
had a busy.
We did.
Really
it was actually
spot.
It was actually really good. We were really surprised that especially being undermanned, and underwomaned
again. Not losers.
Well, we set the bar low. I only brought one other person with me. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, all right, maybe we'll sell enough to whatever. And we ended up, I totally sold out of one of the issues of Brielle Nahar, and I had to make an emergency run. We were down in Philadelphia, and we live in North Jersey, so you're talking about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I had to make an emergency run. I had a phone call. A buddy helped me out. And drove down to restock us.
Oh, it was hilarious because I was talking to him. He's like, I gotta go, I gotta go, I don't more stuff. And he was like, wow. And he went, pshoom, and that was the end of him.
Yeah, that was a stressful moment. But that's a good problem. Those are good selling out.
But you had a prime location. I don't know.
It was a good friend.
I don't know why. It was such a prime location. It was right in the front.
It was
and
great,
you and you
yeah.
always have such a well designed booth.
Thank you.
You always have. You had the skateboards that time. The skateboards out. I don't remember seeing that last time.
We got lucky in Philly. We had like a corner booth that I wasn't expecting, so I had enough room to actually spread everything out. So we had the T-shirts out, we had the skateboards, and a whole ton of books and posters, and we had the videos playing and stuff. So that was cool to be able to show stuff, and certainly helped.
And what about getting the models to be there? Are those friends or those models that you always have women with you?
Well, this is how we roll.
Someone just set the bar too high. Let's bring that back down.
I got nothing to say about that.
We always have friends. We always have people who've either worked with us like as models or actresses first who then come and join.
Well,
it's part of the job description.
You know, friends who can pass as models. Who doesn't
comic
have those?
Book artists.
Yeah.
They come out of the woodwork.
Gotta
be involved with the stick. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. We don't have.
You make comics.
We have a radio show. We don't have groupies. We should make some comics.
I made a comic. My comic's out.
You did make a comic.
Where's your groupie?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I am going to have a model at the New York Comic Con. I was just.
So it's just me.
I just got the approval.
So we're just saying me.
I just got the approval.
Thank you, Mark.
To have a model dress up as Sunburst.
Thank you, Mark.
My character.
Continue. We have guests.
And be at
don't
the
be
New
greedy.
York
we have guests. We have guests. Let's get back to the guests.
That's news.
So what have you been up to, Mark?
Well, nothing at all. Work has been bothering me. But no, I actually, that was one of the, I just got that news like 2 days ago.
Are you feeling
alright? And we'll be right back. WGBB, it came for the radio.
Those complimentary burritos doing for you guys.
Carl
goodness.
Carl from RZG Comics.
Should write these things down.
I should write them down. I have to write them phonetically because I mispronounce his name. Mm-hmm. So Carl from RZG Comics just gave me the approval that we're going to get a model. And he said that I get final say on picking the model because I wish she could be the embodiment of my character. And we're going to have her at the New York Comic Con. Yeah, so that's actually awesome. And
so are you more like blonde or not?
She has to be a redhead because that's what my character is.
That's what they make wigs for. That's why they make wigs.
That was actually part of the discussion that if we cannot find a redhead, we will get a.
So the guy said you can objectify all the women that he picked out. That's
well, he's going to send me like some finalists, and then I get to pick one. It'd be awesome.
Living the dream.
And Rob Longo from the Vixen of the Virtue, mm-hmm. Another friend of the show, he's going to design and make the costume for us.
In real life.
Yeah, in real life. Yeah, well, not for free. He's going to do it, though. So, but his costumes are pretty well done for
the Vixen of the Virtue.
So he's going to make the costumes. So it's going to be actually, I'm pretty stoked about that little bit of information. Thank you for bringing that up.
We'll be right back with more of Mark.
So I got to ask one question before we hit the break. One more important question. Hmm. How is it that you're able to work in both worlds of film and comics?
We don't sleep.
Oh.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
We're ready for our break there, Trevor. All right. We'll be right back from Game from the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with Game Fun Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with Hassan Godwin,
Jared, let's do this.
And let's Jordan do this. Burrell from Loaded Barrel Studios.
The heck with your pleasantries.
This week, besides talking about our guest.
Which we did.
We actually
very effectively.
We got to have a little pre-story about this.
Basically, what I did in the last 6 months is I managed to get the Blu-ray copies of Batman Begins and The Dark Knight for $9. That was my accomplishment.
That was your accomplishment. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
That actually beats us. Yeah. You deserve a medal.
Thank you. I have. They were in metal cases. So nice. I'm good. That was my accomplishment. Just to add something about myself, Walker.
Was that a homonym joke on the radio? Did you do it? Did you go there?
Yeah, I did.
You started off this conversation with a homonym joke?
No one's ever caught me on that before.
So, like I said, we had a little backstory. So last time these guys were on, we went to the diner afterwards,
It wasn't even on the air.
Yes, Hassan and Jordan had an elaborate
knife fight
conversation about the Dark Knight.
It wasn't a conversation. It was a shellacking. I won that hands down.
And thought that it would be great. It'd be great radio. And I'm like, it's a shame that this isn't on the radio. So I knew the new movie was coming out. So I invited these guys back to discuss the movie. And they are fresh from seeing the movie. So today we're going to be talking about The Dark Knight Rises, which is the third film in the Nolan
The third
Batman
and last
trilogy.
Film, according to Nolan himself.
Yeah, but, you know, that's
well,
wait, until
wait,
they
wait,
throw
wait,
more
you
money.
Keep talking, before you keep talking, I think anybody who's listening right now who hasn't seen
this
the film.
Is, yes, spoilers. It's going to be a free-flowing conversation.
Yes, full
so
of spoilers, and I almost murdered my cousin the other day who even hinted at saying anything about the movie before I saw it.
You should listen to us on archives. That's why
I
do it. Right.
Tune out. So, yes. Tune out right now.
That's yes, right. Just like when Cisco and Niebuhr.
We're willing to take a ratings hit just to do this.
Or at least turn down the volume. You can continue watching.
Yeah, watching us going like this. It's actually a 30-second delay from the web camera to the voice. I checked it out today. So
that's something only a geek would know.
This is like Cisco and Niebuhr when they wanted to reveal the ending of The Crying Game. They said, I remember, they're like, all right, everybody, turn down your volume on your TV
right
now.
You're burning time. You're burning our time.
Yeah, that's true.
We have a lot of work. There's nothing fun about the next half an hour.
All right, so I guess we'll just go around till how we thought about the movie. I'm going to go first because I'm not really going to be involved in this argument.
So then why even chime in?
Oh, you are.
I thought the movie was one of the best openings I've seen in a long time. Reminded me of, I guess, Independence Day is how it started. Just brought you in. It created a great atmosphere. I thought it was really good. I was very invested in the movie where I didn't think I was going to be. And then about two-thirds of the way in, I was like, oh, they dropped the ball, and then they just lost me. Everything started to not make any sense. I was like, wait, what happened? They just pulled me right out of my enjoyment of the movie.
The people at home, they're going to get a 30-second delay of me walking out the door.
So I think
they could be 30 seconds down the road right now.
I think they did a great job setting it up, but they could not deliver the ending. That was my personal opinion on that. So we'll go with Hassan. What did you think of the movie?
I thought it was extremely entertained by the film. I thought it was a good film. I thought it was a terrible story. But I thought the film was good. I thought the entertainment was good. And I thought it was consistent with the other two movies in kind of the energy and the motion and the kinetics were all there. The problem is that the same fudging, you know, the same rounding of the sharp edges from the other two films.
Nobody was at that diner. But the four of us, can you actually say what the fudging was?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's go there
right now.
All right. My problem with the first film, if we're going to go all the way back, my problem with the first film is that I'm a big fan of Batman. I like the visuals of it, but I think they oversimplified Bruce Wayne's like ascent to or descent, depending on what your perspective is, into being the superhero of Batman in the first place. And then once he decided he was going to be Batman, he came to Gotham and he just ran into Morgan Freeman and he said, well, I got a whole warehouse full of stuff here. Maybe use that to be a superhero.
Anybody who wants to be Batman.
Yeah, anybody who wants to be
just
Batman.
Just waiting for somebody.
You know, so shop off the rack. So he, this is cool. I'll paint this. I'll do. So then suddenly he's out there with an arsenal
of
stuff.
I'm going to cut you off in terms of the off the rack sale. You've seen Superman or superhero movies before, right?
Yes, I have.
Where one of the character draws a costume, suddenly they're wearing it.
Yes.
Anybody who's played Spider-Man.
So like if Spider-Man.
Amazing
and
artist.
And you can buy the web
that
online.
That is why he was called the Amazing Spider-Man.
He bought the web online.
No.
We don't need to go Batman. But I will say that for the purposes of trying to explain both how you get him to a situation where it's possible to be Batman and both actually explore the character more than the pragmatics of becoming the character. I thought that the use of him finding this stuff within his own resources, I thought was a somewhat intelligent way to speed up what has to be a 2-hour movie.
Right. I understand.
And that I don't think that takes away.
We're still arguing Batman Begins.
Well, we're getting there.
He
stopped me. I could have gotten through it.
All right.
He has built and rebuilt this bat suit. He's got a tumbler. He's got a bat.
The rich get richer. Okay.
Of course, the second one. My main focus in the second one was he was completely inconsequential to the plot of the second film. He didn't do anything up until the very end, where he did save Commissioner Gordon's son, which is the only person he managed to save in the entire movie, including his girlfriend, who he let fry. I understand the point that was trying to make, so I'm not really negative against that, but I think in the attempt of making that point, they kind of missed the point of the fact that you've actually given us, you know, you've given us a bunch of reasons why this guy shouldn't be Batman, and you haven't given us too many reasons why he should be Batman. And so this bleeds over into the third one, where you find out at the end of the second one, the idea was, okay, Harvey was, you know, we'll use him as a pedestal, and, you know, we will use Batman as the villain, and he will be the villain, and we will save the city using his villainy to basically prop ourselves up. And you find out he quit right after that, and he hasn't been Batman for 8 years. So what was the point of
him? You got what you wanted. Right?
No, we're done.
I did.
Everybody thank this guy for fame.
If I had gotten what I wanted, that third movie would have never happened. But I'm actually the problem with this discussion.
Hey, does anybody else get a chance to talk in the show?
Wait, one second. The problem with this discussion is I really don't think that those movies should not exist. I really don't think that those are terrible movies that have destroyed the franchise of Batman. I think there are fundamental problems with the stories in and of themselves. But I think the execution and the action and the stylized way in which they're done are more than an achievement. And now I'm done. Until someone asks me another question.
Well,
All right.
I'm sorry. You may not see this on the radio, but we have a leaner in the corner.
We're going around in a circle.
Okay. If you're leaning, no. We can go catty corner. That's all right. I don't want to. All right. Well. Personally, I loved the third one, and actually, I would almost make
next
the argument.
And
yeah, okay. There you go.
Time.
Please be my
No, I actually
will man up, and I will admit that actually I was so moved by the end of the third one I actually bawled my eyes out.
Really?
The third act.
That's
very brave of you.
Really? It was brave.
Very brave.
It was.
Not to cry,
you
like a little girl, but I mean to admit that you cried. Yeah.
No, I understand.
You didn't think that was a Hollywood ending, a cop out?
Which ending? Because there were technically three endings. So which one?
The big reveal.
Well, and the idea, right? And again, anybody who might have been turning in late, please turn off the radio.
The last few seconds before the credits roll, that reveal. The last few seconds before the credits.
When you see him at the very end, like you kind of know that he's gonna come back. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And in fact, you don't even know, but it didn't really matter.
Right.
I think we talked about this a little bit last night. You know, did it matter? Didn't it matter whether or not he comes back at the end and he doesn't die? And I get that. That was a little Hollywood, but it's less Hollywood. I think it was a lot Christopher Nolan. I mean, it was like the Inception ending, which I thought was really cool. They interjected a little bit of that kind of storytelling into the end. But I thought the hero's arc that they presented for Batman, for Bruce Wayne, throughout the three films culminated so with such emotion and such intensity at the end. His self-sacrifice, the idea of actually killing Batman. I mean, the montage at the end of revealing the statue, his headstone, Alfred's reveal. When you're kind of waiting for Bruce Wayne to pop up and he doesn't, and they actually, you know, regardless of what happens with Bruce Wayne, Batman dies at the end of the film. And I found it to be extremely moving. And as far as I was concerned, you know, we were talking about this earlier. We've mostly been arguing as to which is the best film of all time. Was it The Dark Knight or was it The Dark Knight Rises? And you know, The Dark Knight to me raised
Never Ending Story was the answer to that movie.
Yeah, it was. Yes. Yeah. The Dark
Labyrinth.
Knight, the Dark Legend, baby.
Yeah. All right, you win.
Tom Cruise forever.
Dragon Slayer.
oh man, we all ran into fantasy movies. But I thought The Dark Knight raised the bar for what you can do with a superhero movie. You know, the drama, the intensity, the seriousness with which they approached the topic, I thought it really did raise the bar with what you could do. You know, I thought looking at a lot of the other more cartoony superhero
like
movies,
stand on it.
The Avengers.
Ah, I knew it.
No,
I knew it.
But I enjoyed
no,
the
but
Avengers.
No, no knock on the movie. I
no,
thoroughly
the movie.
Enjoyed
it.
But
I wasn't even going to go with the Avengers.
I just wanted that out. That's all.
You knew. You knew.
I knew.
Radio or otherwise, you knew.
But I thought really what they did with the hero's journey and his arc at the end of this film, it so completed the whole trilogy. It kind of was like, what else can you do with a hero? And I feel like that was that it arced so well, and it was the ultimate sacrifice at the end. Where else can you go? And I was saying this earlier too. Yeah, I was really excited for the Man of Steel. Like, what are they going to do with that? And by the end of the movie, I was kind of like, I don't care what they're going to do with it. What can they possibly do with Superman or any other hero that's going to be more emotional or heavy than what they did at the end of The Dark Knight Rises? And that was my personal opinion. Please, Jordan, take over.
Yes.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah.
I want to first start off by saying to our audience that what took
Mrs.
place what took place at that diner was an explanation about why The Dark Knight was a great movie versus why it was not. And the reason
I wonder which opinion was mine and what was his.
I thought you thought it was fantastic. I don't know what you're saying. The truth of the matter is,
actually thought we were coming here because you guys argued that The Dark Knight could or couldn't be the best movie ever, depending on
that
how it
is
ended.
Exactly what we were going to talk
it ended.
About.
Yeah.
Right. And that is what I was
I
about
to
introduce
we
now.
Yeah.
The reason why I argued that The Dark Knight was a fantastic movie is I happen to disagree with you, and we were having this conversation in the car about the Bruce Wayne Batman character.
Wait, who
as
do you disagree with, me or him?
Well, we were disagreeing about what
we
the context of the third film. Yeah, okay. we were in the car. You were there.
You were there.
Which one was driving? I hope you know who. No, hope you know who.
I don't even know what's going on in our studio. Okay. Yeah. Mark does. Mark, yeah. Which one of them
was driving?
They had their butler drive.
Alfred was driving.
That's where Alfred went for the movie. He said, "Bruce, forget it."
Y'all had your time. Y'all had your time. All right, it's Batman time.
Please, for those people not watching online, Jordan is wearing a Joker hat.
I am wearing it.
So
there's a reason. I don't even need to see the rest of you because I'm going to go off for a little bit.
Alrighty.
Please.
I can't look at that, so thank you.
The Dark Knight, in and of itself, and there's been arguments about all three films, that the first one is very, it's a personal hero pulp, traditional superhero story. The second one, very much crime drama. The third one has been argued that it's more of a war film. You know, peacetime versus wartime, and such, that the thematics have been very prevalent in the movie. They say it so often enough that even if you don't get it, at least you have a memory enough to know that. Now, the second film, what made it fantastic as its crime drama was that it took our hero to a level in which his choices affected our storyline such that the end of the film was one in which the hero only had a certain amount of choices, and none of them resulted in completely wrapping everything up, finishing it, being completely done. He saved the day like a traditional hero does. And your argument, as previously recorded, was stated that the fact that he was incapable of saving was part of the detriment of the film. I happen to think that that was part of the positives of the film, because at a certain point in time, you're going to need make sacrifices. And that was the point of the film.
Yeah, he sacrificed a hell of a lot of people.
But, and this is the argument we were making earlier, is that Batman Begins was a story about a guy who was so intent on being Batman, he would do anything to do it. He would fall through the pitfalls of Bruce Wayne and leave that man behind in order to become Batman, of which he did. And what does he do at the end of the movie? We can talk schlock or not about the giant water pillar thing with the scarecrow blowing stuff up from here to high heaven and saving the day. And it was a wonderful ending to that character, because he needed to do something completely outspoken in order to prove his case that he was even good enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second film, and this is where I have an issue about the argument that he is not actually good at his job. I happen to think, and this is what we were explaining earlier, that I happen to think that Bruce Wayne didn't exist at all in the second film. That he was so good at Batman that Bruce Wayne never existed within any scene. That he was so good at Batman that the reason why Rachel couldn't be with him, even though he's like, look, I'm done. There's no crime. Leave me alone. Let's go be together. She's like, I don't buy it. Nobody buys it. You are so enjoying this journey of Batman.
To add a point that you that you brought up, I think they say in the first movie, right, where Rachel says, "Like, no, this is your mask."
Yes, the final scene. This is your mask,
Bruce Wayne. Like, you know,
Right. And the point of that was is that he was falling deeper and deeper into this character. Now, what made the movie interesting is that despite how good he was as this superhero, there was someone equally as good opposing him that made him challenge, because at some point in time, it's the prisoner's dilemma. You will certainly be faced with a decision where you may increase your utility, but to the detriment of either others or maybe yourself in a different perspective, and that's what the movie was. And I liked it in the idea that he finishes self-sacrificing to the point where he becomes the outlaw. And now the thing we left off on when we were in the diner previously was that, as good as that is, the reason why you have an issue with it is because at the end of the day, Superman, superheroes, super everything, as Batman is,
the Avengers
should win the day. That's the point. They shouldn't be so bad at their job. And that's what you made. You made a very serious point that he was not good enough to be Batman, to prove that he should be Batman. And our argument was, and this is what we left at the diner, was that the third movie will dictate whether or not this movie was a precursor to that ascension, or whether or not he's going to devolve from that. And I felt that the third movie, though myself and Jared have argued differently as to why we liked it, though I love the film, and I had to took issue with the fact that it was 8 years later and he wasn't pursuing the role of Batman. But I felt that at the end of the day, his ascension became something so cataclysmic that they were going to fully destroy Gotham, and he was there at the end. So the contention that in The Dark Knight that he was not capable of it, he proved at the end that even at his weakest, he could rise to the occasion. Now, that's why I think The Dark Knight was a fantastic film in relation to its journey, its conclusion, why I thought the conclusion was actually kind of appropriate in the third film. Having said all of that, my issue was certainly that The Dark Knight was a good film, an amazing film, actually, but I don't think it was better than The Dark Knight. I'm actually on this.
The Dark Knight Rises.
The Dark Knight Rises was not as good as The Dark Knight for those reasons, and I thought that it lost the journey of that character, because your issue that he lost himself in this character and that he's actually not very good at it, when he gives up the character, I actually wasn't looking forward to that film. I was actually looking forward to the very scene after. We were talking about that when he's running and Gary Oldman says, you know, the dogs will chase you. And he says, I can take it. Right. It's a kind of presumption that he's going to take it. And we're going to watch him being sick. I'm going to spend years running because I still got to clean up crime.
See, but
I got to do this.
That was my issue with the film. This is the conversation we actually had in the car. Is that someone squeaked?
Those burritos. They'll get the bat burritos.
See, I think at the end of The Dark Knight, the first one or the second one, when he said, you know, the whole you run, you can take it, this, that, you're watching it. That's what happens at the end of the movie. You know, their montage, that's it. And Jordan was arguing that, you know, the first two films, you get into a situation where, oh, you're not Bruce Wayne, like you're Batman and you're wearing the mask and whatever. And then you see him and, oh, he's giving it up.
Right.
And I made this opposite argument. This is the way I felt while I was watching the film, is that this is why Batman goes into, you know, becomes a recluse, why he becomes like Howard Hughes and he's locked upstairs, is that Bruce Wayne was not locked upstairs. Bruce Wayne didn't give up. He was Batman, locked upstairs. He made this ultimate sacrifice to give up this obsession, this addiction. Not even to give up the addiction of being Batman, but to give up the ability to actually do it. Because he was making the sacrifice, because Harvey Dent's symbolic sacrifice is what put all these people behind bars, is what cleaned it up. And by him locking himself in his room, it basically allowed there to be no crime outside. And in that okay, roll your eyes. Let's make this conversation. I'm not making a speech.
That wasn't actually an eye roll. Like, I don't agree. I was trying to see your point of it. Okay, I get both your points, and they're very solid. They're very good points.
But
he's very hard to argue.
Well, no. Here's the thing. The problem in general, and this is just my problem. This is just me saying this is why I don't like it versus you. All right. So none of us are going to walk away here having decided what these movies are, you know?
No, so everybody's entitled to that.
Yeah, it's just
what?
Not. It's, I'm
why
sorry.
Did I come here?
This is the same reason I came here, but in listening
that's
to
not why he came here.
In listening to these intellectual points of view, I can't really, I can't fight them. Mm-hmm. I can just say that.
Present your side.
How this would have been better depicted for me, okay, was a better showing of his success level. I mean, because it's all in the talking. It's like, oh, crime is down. You know, thanks for Batman. You know, I'm not wearing hockey patch. And a couple of victorious moments. You know, but
really good, by the way.
But yeah, thank you. I worked on that. Once the Joker arrives on the scene, which is the way it's supposed to be. He's supposed to be the irresistible power and then immovable force, right? It just cascades down. It spirals downward to such an extent that you've as someone trying to intellectualize it while watching instead of just, you know, like enjoying the ride, you're going, well, this has got to stop. You know, there's so much collateral damage that this has to stop. The problem I had with it isn't necessarily all the depictions or the things that happened. The problem I had with the conclusions the characters verbally came to at the end of the journey. Like, oh, well, I guess, well, you know, you're the hero. Well, look, if you thought that Harvey was the hero, then you should have been watching out for him, you know, instead of rolling around being Batman, you know. So fail. If you thought that Harvey was the real hero, then you should have just quit being Batman and let Harvey do it instead of getting in the interfering. And you should have just primarily just gone after this Joker guy.
But wait
one second. Okay. But that neither here nor there. The thing that we were all waiting for was the Dark Knight Rises. I will say if they had done two things in that movie, it would have made the entire trilogy perfect, including Batman.
I'm intrigued
including the Dark Knight, which I railed against. If he had said I quit because so much bad stuff happened last time I was Batman, if he had said it in some kind of way, and he had 100 intimate moments with Alfred where he could have said that, I would have been like, okay, fine. That means that you're self-aware of the damage that you caused yourself in the previous movie, which makes it relevant, which makes the whole thing part of his journey and makes it relevant. That, and if they had scaled it down, you know how this is going to sound. If they had scaled it down to just him and Bane, because I, three movies in, I did not feel for Batman until that first fight he had with Bane. That was the first time I was actually emotionally.
That was brutal.
Yeah,
it was a fantastic brutal.
First time I was emotionally and with him and emotionally invested in what he was trying to do, and his pathos through the entire film, just trying to, you know, stand up again or whatever. That was the first movie. That's why it's probably of the three my favorite. Is because it's the first time.
Though I want to jump in against your point.
Sure.
While you felt the most in that scene, it was because he was the weakest. And your argument in the second film that his ability to be the hero was actually failing at that, that his ability to stop Bane in that moment was also a fail, and yet you enjoyed it.
Right. Okay, here's the thing. He was focused on what he had to do and where the villain was in that scene, even though he was incapable of overcoming him. He was so, in my opinion, in the second movie, he was so caught up in the fanfare of being Batman, for lack of a better word, and the mythology that he was setting up as Batman, that he missed so many instances where he could have actually been more effective.
Okay, now
I'm trying to interject this whole point. You're right on everything you said.
Thank you. I agree. And the show's over.
However, that's to me what made the arc, his journey, his hero's journey, so amazing. I mean, you do watch him spiral out of control, and he loses and he screws up the day in The Dark Knight. I mean, he screws up and saves the day in his screw up. He does do that. And then we watch as best he can. And then we watch him We watch the effect of his spiral and his continual spiral in The Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
Until he gets his act together. Until he figures it out. Until he separates Bruce from Batman. Until he comes back. I mean, that's what I was trying to talk about, the identity and stuff before, is when he comes back to Gotham to finally save the day.
He's Bruce Wayne. Right.
He's in the costume and everybody knows it. By the end of the movie, everybody that's important knows.
That's why he reveals himself.
And again, emotionally speaking, when you're able to take that much of a plummet and come that much higher up, the effect of it for me was that much more compelling. I understand what you're saying.
I'm not arguing with you. I completely agree with you. But I think the problem is that the explanation that they gave was it was another turnoff. It's like, oh, there's a Rachel. I had to stop again.
But you're missing the point. He was setting up in The Dark Knight that he was going to have Two-Face or Harvey Dent, the White Knight, take over. I mean, that's what he's essentially been searching for, is to take for someone to
find
take
someone
over.
To take
and
over.
At the end, Nightwing takes over.
Right.
Harvey Dent to take over so that he could be with Rachel.
Right.
And, you know, like, he cleaned up the town. He did his thing. And then Rachel gets blown to hell. Harvey Dent dies, right. And he's got to pick it back up, and he has no reason. That's why it's so awesome that The Dark Knight Rises is such a downer for half the movie, because he has no reason. He doesn't have even a reason to be Batman.
I'm not arguing with about that.
I think that's what fails because he has no reason to even be Batman until he finds the reason to rise.
But I'm just saying, for me, for my own satisfaction, he has to take culpability for the failures that he caused, not just for
because to me
it's like it's more selfish. Like, oh, I didn't get my girlfriend, you know, which is what I wanted. So screw this. I'm not being Batman anymore.
Well,
and instead of I tried, I did the best I could, and it wasn't good enough. You know, there were, you know, like Alfred said, like, you know, you spit in the face of all these people. You know, they're you know, when you look at the darkness looks back and all that stuff. You know, that's the point that Alfred's making to him, and he just keeps missing it. He's like, oh, Rachel, wait for me, or whatever. And it's like, you're missing the point. The guy's telling you what you're doing, how this is going wrong, and how it has to be stopped. And he missed the point there. So then in the next movie, you figure, okay, now he's had 8 years to kind of dwell on it. And Alfred goes to talk to him, and he's like, oh, Rachel. And he's like, it was never about Rachel, you idiot. It was about this. It's about what you've done. It's about all this other stuff.
Okay, well, you made two points there. That second point about how 8 years later it happened to be that he's trying to make the same point and he misses it, I think that actually supports Jared's argument a little better because of the fact that that's the point. You're right. He missed it, and this movie's about him not missing it anymore, and he – at the very end, he finally gets his act together, and he realizes, even though he can save himself, it's more about them, not him, and that's why he rises, even though he could have easily gotten out of that jail and just kept going.
He ends up with a hotter girlfriend.
He does end up with a hotter girlfriend. Having said that,
fair enough.
I would actually say...
All you have to do is have your back broken, dropped in the pit, and climb out, and you get a hotter girlfriend? That's the formula of the...
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll make sure that happens.
Next radio show, we climb out of the pit and we find out this is
which, by the way, I have to admit that Anne Hathaway did a great job.
I have no complaints with any of those films.
We should acknowledge that she did a great job.
Why do we have to acknowledge it?
We're talking about
that's your agenda. Anyway, move on.
I'll
not listening, Mark.
Yeah. It's not going to happen, dude.
She was less purposeful than necessary.
Jesse Eisenberg.
He is, though.
What
is
a callback. Yeah, holy crap.
Listening.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
One.
I remember that.
That's fantastic.
Okay. All right. So my point that kind of coincides with your point. He did screw up and he did miss the point. Now, I think he was doing a tremendous job as Batman and he missed the point of his own ills. Because I actually took it to say that his switching Harvey Dent to try and become the White Knight and trying to be Rachel, I thought that was more of the facade because I did not actually believe that he believed any of that stuff. Because she even writes him the letter being like, look, this would all be wonderful if any of this was true, but it's not. You're Batman. Give it up. This is never happening. And as far as him meddling with the White Knight, I think his hero's journey for the White Knight was meant to be by itself, so he didn't mingle. Having said that, to me, this is what we were arguing about. What makes the third movie better? Like, what could make this justified? And this is what I took issue with of the third movie, though I loved it, was that you were right. The first two movies really do get into the ideology of Batman. It's not about being good enough to fight. The first movie is about, like, you need to understand you and get – and within all of this context – become this Batman, become more than just yourself.
Right.
And he has to decide he's going to fall into the ideology. He does, he wins. The second movie It's the whole argument is the ideology, because you're right. He failed. He watched so many people get killed in that movie. But why? What was the real reason? And the real reason was this. He could have easily killed the Joker. He could have killed Laos. He could have killed them all. Why didn't he? It wasn't part of the ideology. He struggled with how to be Batman and how to just get the job done. And he was tormented by that and losing himself in the process because he was so struggling with that. Well, hold on. Mm-hmm. Because he was so struggling with that, that's why he missed being Bruce Wayne. And that's why everyone could see he's not that guy. And that's why Alfred was saying, you're getting lost in this monster. You're missing the point. And you're kind of complaining about all this Rachel stuff. The truth of the matter is, in my opinion, I thought it was all just fiction. I thought he was saying these words because he thinks they need to be said. What I was hoping for in The Dark Knight Rises is I was hoping that further descent to madness in what you're saying. Forget the cop-out. Forget the I quit because I'm hurting two people. I wanted to see the opposite. I wanted to see him not quit, though he was hurting people. I wanted to see him now fighting the cops to fight crime, and it's like you lost your perspective. You're punching a cop to stop a criminal. Is it worth punching the cop in the first place? At which the end of the movie becomes – at which the end of the movie becomes – that
which would have
moment.
Been more compelling, yeah.
But did he do that at the end of The Dark Knight?
What?
I mean, he beat up like 80 cops in the end of The Dark Knight.
Right, but Alfred's point in that was that it's only going to get worse from here. At some point, it's got to stop. Now, he gave it up. Now, I agree. The Nolans decided to go a different route, which was a beautiful route. And I'm not gonna say that it wasn't a good idea to take the character in the opposite way and say, rather than let him go descent into madness, we're actually going to go the opposite and we're going to castrate Batman and see how that turns him. And I thought it was an interesting way to go. I wouldn't have done it myself, though I would say that we made the argument at the end of the movie when he survives and he gets away from it all, that I thought Batman of the first two films would never have done that because there was still work to be done. And symbolically, though, he became a hero and he cleared his name, which was the purpose of Selina Kyle in the first place. That in and of itself, I thought, was a cop-out that he was able to just walk away from Batman because I didn't believe the first two Batman movies told me a character who would ever leave that guy. Though I love the version of this. I love that they decided to go a different way, but that was why I love the second movie.
I just need to understand. I just needed him to say it, you know? I mean, just since we don't have that a lot of time, I just needed him to become aware, and I needed it to be an actual moment of him going, oh, I screwed this up. I got to fix this, you know? And it would have worked. Because
it would have worked. I do agree.
It would have worked. But since they didn't do it, it's kind of like one of those situations where you just deal with it. Yeah, my son, you know, he kills chickens, you know, but he'll grow out of it. You know, he's the triad of sociopathy that has nothing to do with that. He's going to be fine. And it's like we're ignoring the reality of the situation for what it is, just for the glitz and the glamour. And that's what bothered me about it. And that's it.
So we have less than a minute to go.
One minute.
You guys want to promote your website for
us? This discussion will continue.
Sure. You can check us out at www.loadedbarrelstudios.com. It's LOADEDBARRELSTUDIOS.com. And definitely follow us on Facebook. I'll keep you updated. We're going to be at the New York City International Film Festival from August 10th through the 12th, I believe at the Marriott in New York City. So come on, check that out. We're going to have a panel, Jordan and I, for innovative filmmakers, Saturday, August 11th at 11:30 a.m.
So thanks you once again for coming down here and giving us great radio because this was pretty darn good.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's always a blast to be here. Yeah.
If you miss any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. You can listen to our archives there. We have it. We're back on track, so our archives are back up in a week or so. And we will see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.